I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You know how everything seems like a good idea after you've had a few?
Yeah,
that's this show.
Riding in my car, and I'm listening to the radio.
It's time for Dukes and Bell.
Oh, someone told me it's the Black Beverly Hills. Is that true?
Driving in Atlanta just got a whole lot more bearable.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Hi, everybody. Carl Dukes and Mike Bell. The names that mean goodness.
Say my name, you know who I am.
Carl Dukes.
I drink and I know things.
Oh, don't question my authority, thanks.
King Kong ain't got on me.
Sometimes you just gotta call somebody, and I'm not ashamed to say it. You know,
And Mike Bell.
I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you.
Hope you guess my name.
Bring a pitcher of beer every 7 minutes till somebody passes out, and then bring one every 10 minutes, right?
Get ready for the best 5 hours of your life.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Don't believe me, just watch.
This is Dukes and Bell.
You know what? Why don't we start doing the stuff that other guys have done, other radio shows around the country?
No.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Atlanta, what is going on? It is Dukes and Bell on a hump day. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey man. Brian behind the glass, a.k.a. Sam Tarley, running the board today for us, our engineer, AT, executive producer. We are here for you, man, and we got a lot to get to, Mike Bell, as you can always get involved at 404-741-0929. I cannot lie, as we've talked about the Winter Olympics, last night was the first time that I found myself actually watching the downhill skiing.
Oh, were you?
Yes, with Lindsey Vonn. And I actually tuned in right as either she had finished or right at the end of her downhill. I have not really watched a whole lot of this. I know we talked about the hockey and we didn't send our professionals, and we've talked about the curling, which is whatever. This was the first time that I actually tuned in and found myself watching for a good 25 to 30 minutes.
Yeah, watched some of the hockey just to see. And again, got in right as the shootout was commencing. And boy, did we just give a terrible effort. It was like watching old people on ice skates, but very slow motion, trying to deke the goalie. So we're out. And again, this was the wrinkle, not having the pros out there for the first time in a long time. But Lindsey Vonn, here's what I know about this game, of what I've seen.
Yeah.
You've got the younger woman who is just Schifrin?
Schifrin, yes.
And for fatigue, she's tapped out of some other races, saying it's just too much to demand her to do all that. And then Lindsey, you know, it's a bronze, but is that an accomplishment considering she's had, like, more surgeries than the average NFL player? Or was that underachieving? I don't know because I don't know enough about it. So, I mean, I think a medal's a medal, right?
Well, she's 33. You know, she got hurt in the last Olympics. And that was part of the storyline. And she's kind of lucky to be there. And at 33, you're not going to train 4 more years and try to do this again. She's done. But the idea is you go to the Winter Olympics and you medal. Would I have wanted to win a gold medal? Yeah, I think most Americans would have. And because of her notoriety, Mike, whether it be Tiger Woods, social media, who she is and who she's been, you know, hung out with, she has a huge following. But she is arguably one of the best, you know, skiers in American history. But she doesn't win the gold and people are killing her. And I think another portion of this was, you know, back in December, I think it was, they were asking her what it's going to be like to represent the country with President Trump now as president. And she basically said, I represent America. I don't represent the president. People got offended by that. Mm-hmm. And so either way, but she wins bronze. I'm going to tell you, if I've trained as much as these athletes do and I medal, I'm happy. I want the gold, but I'm happy.
Now, for some of the alpine skiers, the downhill skiers, remember, they've got a regular season over in Europe. You know, so they've got a championship that exists over in Europe where they get to compete, and they make some decent money. That's why when you hear Dan Hicks talking about it, because we ran into the skiers at the hotel, they're not at the Olympic Village. They're all staying in this Mac hotel because they're all making money on the tour. But, like I said, I don't know enough about it. All I know is that she's had a lot of operations. She's had a lot of, you know, issues with her ankles and knees and you name it. So at 33, I guess it's kind of getting long in the tooth.
Yeah, we'll let you hear from Lindsey as well as Jesse Diggins, who wins on winning the first ever cross-country gold for the U.S. The medal count, and maybe we'll have to ask AT this, but I'm not up with the medal count. I don't think we're winning, but we're not winning.
We're not winning by a long shot.
But we're not winning across the board on a lot of things. That's the thing. I don't know when the interest level is what it is with these sports. As we said, we're not familiar with them. And then you're not winning to put more limelight on these particular events.
USA, we're tied with the Netherlands with 16 total medals. We've got 6 gold. Norway's got 33.
Norway.
Yeah, again, where they've got lots of mountains and fjords. Anyway, they've got 33, 13 gold, 11 silver, 9 bronze, followed by Germany. And again, once East Germany and West Germany got back together again, there's a lot of folks that do good at the winter sports.
Yeah.
And then you got Canada bringing up the rear there.
Yeah. Well, and as we've said, the sentiment on this show has been most American men were not going to pay attention to this, for the most part. That's kind of been the deal. And I just found myself last night, only because it was Lindsey Vonn, checking it out because I wanted to see if she was going to be able to win gold, knowing it would probably be her last time. Hey, man, it is Dukes and Bell. We got some football conversation to get to. According to his agent, Falcons have opened up contract discussions with kicker Matt Money Bryant.
Yeah, Ryan Succop kind of set the market for kickers. I'm not sure how long, you know, a Matt Bryant contract would be. Could he kick till he's, I mean, George Blanda years? I don't know. I mean, he was certainly money for us. And as you said, what was the line last year? We're over the 50. Get Bryant in there. Kick it. And with the team that, unfortunately, I don't know if we're going to, hopefully we're going to get better in the red zone, but we have to really lean on him because we find ourselves bogging down sometimes outside the 20.
Does the age bother you?
I mean, old man time is undefeated, but I still think this guy is money. And all right, so maybe at some point he loses his fastball and we can't think he's like going to be absolute 99% on 55 yards plus, which he seemed to be this year.
Yeah, I that would not deter me from signing Matt Bryant back as our kicker. Again, you bring a young guy into camp. They've done it the last couple of years. And every year we go, woo, this guy can kick, but he can't hit a field goal to save his life.
Right.
Kicking at 80 yards is great. It doesn't mean anything if you can't put it through the upright. So Matt Bryant, to me, it would be a money sign. It makes sense. I don't believe at this point this is cost prohibitive for the Falcons. And he's the guy that wants to be here. I mean, ultimately, I think he probably wants to be here. So we'll see where that goes. But he could become an unrestricted free agent on March 14th. And so they started those discussions.
Yeah, I was talking yesterday with you about that Vonn McClure interview with Taylor Gabriel, where Taylor, you know, if you read between the lines, it kind of sounds like he just anticipates the Falcons will not be able to pay him. And look, I don't blame the guy. This is his probably one big chance to get a multi-year deal and to get some guaranteed coin in his pocket after obviously doing pretty good things for us. But as you brought up yesterday, just not sure how Sark knows how to use him, you know, from 6 touchdowns to 1 touchdown in the case of Taylor Gabriel. And you can't validate a big contract.
The more I consider this and I think about the idea of losing a slot guy, which, you know, I had this discussion with Randy on Monday when you were out, and Randy's like, he's not even a true slot guy. Okay, however you define what Taylor Gabriel does, I don't necessarily think you want to spend the money based on the touchdown production that you got last year. Now, again, was that an anomaly because he scored 6 the previous year and then you gave him the same amount of opportunities with targets, and then he didn't turn 5 of those into touchdowns like he did with Shanahan the year before? I don't know, Mike. That's the one question I can't answer. But I do feel like, as you said, some of the scouting from other teams and the way that they used him and put him in certain situations, it alerted teams that Gabriel was probably going to get the ball.
Yeah, you saw Gabriel, here comes a jet sweep. You know, you saw, just like, you know, the Eagles, and we've talked so much about how teams were able to diagnose the predictability of this offense, and that's one of the things that, look, had Shanahan been back here, would that have changed? We'll never know. But I know one thing for sure. You know, Dan Quinn says, hey, let's not, get all on Sark that it's going to get better. We won't know until September.
Yeah, that's the thing. So I read the article as well from Vonn McClure, ESPN. It does sound like Taylor is preparing himself for being somewhere else. Would I like to see him back? Yeah, I mean, again, I have nothing against the guy. I just want production from all these guys, whether it's Snoo, Julio, Gabriel,
well, I mean, Hoop's like another guy, man. I mean, look, the red zone, we've got to get that straightened out. So, I mean, are we doing enough now in this offseason? What are we doing with the draft? All these mock drafts, you know, you can take all the mock drafts and, you know, everybody's got a theory. Most people look at the Falcons on the outside and say offense is an issue. Get the offensive line right. So we'll see. We know a lot about Isaiah Wynn. Combine now, guys, begins in earnest later this week, and we'll start to see what some of the measurables really say about these guys. How many guys can actually bench press a Volkswagen 50 times? How many guys aren't as tall as we thought, et cetera, et cetera?
Speaking of predictions, Mel Kiper is predicting that Josh Allen will be the number one pick. I don't necessarily agree with that. Again, we'll see what the combine looks like. I'm just not sold on him, you know, and just like Mitch Trubisky, I wasn't sold necessarily on Mitchell Trubisky last year going ahead of Deshaun Watson. I still think the eye test matters. I still think what you do against really good competition matters. And, Mike, when you start talking about the schools where they played, you know, Power 5 schools when he was in Wyoming and he didn't necessarily play well or his completion percentage was down, doesn't that say something about the level of competition? So for me, I'm not sold on Josh Allen. With that said, people always want to turn to Carson Wentz and go, wait, he went to a small school. You look what Wentz has turned into. You know, why can't this guy be that? Okay, maybe he can.
Yeah, but Josh Allen's also got some mechanical things. Now, not as bad as Tebow, but he's got a bit of a pat to the football and a little hitch to his giddy-up. So if you've watched him on tape, that's something that you're not going to be able to do in the NFL. Ball's got to be out of there super fast. That's why Goff, as bad as he looked that first year, he's still got the tremendous mechanics. Same thing goes for Andrew Luck. So that, you see it with Aaron Rodgers. But in the case of Allen, that's something that somebody's going to have to deconstruct. And how does that affect how effective he's going to be as a quarterback?
We'll tell you what Mel Kiper thinks about our Falcons coming up. Guys, get involved. You can follow us on Twitter. At Mike Bell, ATL, I may put him up. See Dukes. Follow this radio show at Dukes and Bell 929 as we'll put out a poll as well a little bit later on. Brought to you by our friends at Vision Computers. And we invite you to follow all of us across social media at 929 The Game. Whether it be Facebook, there's a new Dukes dump out there you can go check out. And on Instagram as well, man. Lots of stuff happening with the radio station, and make sure you check it out. Now, AT, you told me last week we rolled out a new website. It's up. People can go check it out. I've actually not had a chance to maneuver it and visit on it yet, but people have been asking, and they said, is that a new website? It is, and it is up, correct?
Correct, at 929thegame.com. It's a lot sleeker than the previous. It's not as clunky as the old website.
Right on.
So you should be able to navigate around it fairly easily.
Okay, cool.
Cool.
All right, man. And I know we're going to be getting some new pictures and all kind of stuff up there fairly soon over the next week or so, but you can check that out at 929thegame with a new unveiling of our website that has been out there for a couple of days now. Hey, man, we got plenty to get to. Along the way, we're going to talk to one of our favorite guys. Mike Mayock is going to join us coming up at 4:20 about the NFL Combine. Mike, we respect him, Mike's opinion about a lot of things when it comes to the draft. Over the years, he's been right about a lot of guys, giving us analysis about guys. I'm looking forward to talking with him at 4:20.
Yeah, see what he thinks about the interior lineman. Does he think Isaiah Wynn's going to be that guy? Also, you know, just where does Nick Chubb and Sony Michel fall? I've seen some projections where Sony Michel and Nick Chubb are out of the first round, second round, third round for some. So we'll see. A guy that really does a great job. That's all he does, basically, is break down talent throughout the year in the NFL.
All right, we'll also talk to Amy Dash, that bombshell by Sports Illustrated, talking about what's going on with the Dallas Mavericks in their front office. And also more fallout from Louisville as they continue to try to understand how they get back to prominence. It may be a long time for Louisville with all that they're losing. It's Dukes and Bell.
92.9 The Game.
We are Dukes and Bell live inside the Kia studios. For more info, visit KiaDealers.com. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Hope you're having a great day, man. We're going to get some headlines coming up here in just a little bit. Mike, you know, I've been trying to pimp Rick Pitino to Georgia. You know, they're going to make a move with Mark Fox, and I hope they do.
Unless, of course, Mark Fox keeps winning.
That's a whole other story. But, you know, as you hear this Louisville fallout, man,
right,
and you just start to realize, as you've said all along, and again, it's not about, you know, whether we want Rick Pitino. It's about you got to get a brand, and that's where that really came from with me. But you said he's toxic, and whether or not anybody, let alone Georgia, anybody's going to give Rick Pitino another chance to coach. He's 65, as we said, but the fallout to this particular scandal, man, and remember the whole, you know, call girl thing, he denied he even knew about that.
Yeah, he had plausible deniability. It was a rogue assistant who later got fired, which, you know, sounds convenient. I mean, look, I mean, the extramarital thing, that's between a man and his wife. If the wife will keep him, then that's their business. But, I mean, that was also an embarrassing moment for Louisville earlier in his tenure up there. And then you throw in this Adidas. And the thing which really irked me about the Adidas thing was how indignant he was, how defiant Rick Pitino was. Him and Jurich, the AD that really had his back all those years. You want to talk about going down swinging. That's another thing. There'll be lawsuits dragging on for years with Rick Pitino on this one. I just think because Georgia rolled the dice with Jim Harrick years ago, knowing yet another guy with a history of being shady, and that blew up in their face, I just think that would be in the minds of any Georgia athletic director.
How long has that been, Harrick?
That was 2003-04 it went south.
Yeah. I mean, it's a long time. And here's the deal. You want to judge people independently on what they do and their merit and the chance you'll take with that individual. But, yeah, I hear you. It's sort of like after the Falcons incident with Mike Vick, how conservative, you know, they went with, as we said, the Falcon filter, as it was called right at one point, with the kind of players they wanted to bring in. And they were very cautious about certain individuals. And you know, I get it when you go through something like that. But I just think if you're Georgia basketball, you want to bring in somebody that has a brand and brings some excitement and some attention to your program. I just think, to your point, you know, I'm looking at all the penalties over the week or last night, should I say, and it's hard to overlook that if you're going to hire Rick Pitino.
The other thing about where you are with Rick Pitino, I mean, you look at the program, and yes, I get it. You'd love to have somebody that could be a difference maker. You know, find that lightning in a bottle, that next Billy Donovan that made Florida a football school and a basketball school perpetually, right? Who is that guy? Do you have the money to go find that guy? Because another retread ain't going to cut it. Let's get real here. And the worst-case scenario is if you were ready to fire Mark Fox a week ago, and now they won two in a row. Remember Dennis Felton? Everybody knew he was dead man walking. Then they go and they win the SEC tournament the year it had to get played at the Georgia Dome because that was the tornado whipped through Atlanta, and they had a hole in the roof of the Georgia Dome. So Dennis Felton, you got stuck with him for another year because of that. That was the worst thing you could do. And if Mark Fox is not your guy, why should win five games make him your guy now?
Yeah. 9 years in, I think you have to know what you have. By the way, I got to give a big shout-out to our man Jeff Benedict, who actually teaches a class at Kennesaw State, and his class is listening to the program. Hope you guys have meters. So, Jeff, thanks for subjecting them to our show. But apparently he tweeted out that he was going to have his class listen to the first 30 minutes of the show today, and he said they're discussing the first segment. How did you think the first segment went, by the way, Mike?
I thought it was strong. I thought we laid the foundation. I thought you discussed all the things that are coming up. We told you who the guests were going to be. I'm going back to my days. Now, I got to be honest with you. For all the schools that I flunked out of, the one thing that I actually got something out of was a school I went to in New York City called Center for the Media Arts, mm-hmm. which is kind of like where Jeff is teaching. And if you got a good instructor, and we know Jeff is, you might actually get something out of it. And you might go get, hopefully, job placement. Never go to one of those schools unless they guarantee job placement. Okay. Psst. But anyway, hopefully we put the lessons which we've learned in some 60 years of radio combined to good use in that first segment. Man, Arthur, your thoughts?
I hope you got something out of it. But Jeff, man, thanks for having the class listen, and we appreciate the love, man. What do you think, AT? First segment?
You were missing your bell.
Oh, thank you. You brought it into me. I was.
Didn't have a sound effect bell. That's
I was.
A problem.
I was kind of, lost. I was missing something. And by the way, kids that are listening, it's my genius bell. All right? You got to bring genius to the program to get a ding-ding.
Yeah. For the guys that are listening, Arthur brings up the prop. It's not like Carl is the Gallagher of radio. Like he's got a giant hammer and he's got props, or he's Carrot Top and he's going to all these gadgets. It's something we use for effect occasionally.
Occasionally. All right, man. It is Dukes and Bell. That's called a reset. Let's get to some headlines.
Strap in, youngins.
Hitting the headlines with Dukes and Bell.
Mel Kiper Jr. Do you trust Mel Kiper Jr.?
No. No, you and I could handicap the draft. I mean, look, there was a time when he was the only guy in the field. So, I mean, he had the benefit of being the only guy breaking this stuff down. He made his bones making fun of the Colts back in the days when they were screwing up picks in the late 80s. Look, I get it. He puts a lot of time into it. I think McShay's just as good. I prefer NFL Network. I like Daniel Jeremiah. I like the guy we're going to have on in Mike Mayock. I think they do a pretty good job. I just think Kiper, like everything else at ESPN, it just becomes a caricature of itself.
Well, Kiper has his latest mock draft out. And for those who are interested, he's got us selecting Georgia's Isaiah Wynn at number 26. That's no surprise. We've talked about this. To me, that is a position of need, right? And this is what I get back to with the draft. It's like everybody always talks about, we'll take the best available athlete. No, you won't. You're not taking a quarterback if your quarterback's Aaron Rodgers. You're not taking a quarterback if your quarterback's Tom Brady. The deal is you have to address the positions of need. And for us, that is a position of need.
Now, I will give you another name, and this is something that came up. NFL Networks, they're doing some of their capsules now on different positions. You can go online and check it out. My buddy Tomko, who played at Ohio State, said, hey, check out old Billy Price. Billy Price is like a Harvey Dahl, if you remember the old nasty offensive lineman for the Falcons back in the early or mid-2000s. This guy, Price, plays center. You could actually use him as a guard. And then when Alex Mack gets a little long in the tooth, this would be what you were going to do with Peter Kahns after Todd McClure, but Kahns wasn't worth a damn. This Billy Price is a mean hombre that pushes guys around and has got edge and attitude, something sorely lacking on our team.
No doubt about it. We talk about where teams get their nastiness from. It's two places, offensive and defensive line. It is. Nastiness doesn't come from the DBs. It just doesn't. Nastiness doesn't come from as talented as Julio is from the wide receiver spot. It comes from guys up front who set the tone. And if you've got that up front, the rest of the team kind of takes on that attitude, Mike. We're going to have to take a closer look at this kid and see what he's all about. Meanwhile, the Falcons, as we mentioned, have opened contract discussions, according to Matt Bryant's agent, with Matt Bryant in, retaining his services as our kicker. I have no issues with that. I think the big story today is that the Dolphins decided to use the franchise tag on wide receiver Jarvis Landry. Now, Landry came here. Mm-hmm. He killed us. I mean, Landry was catching balls all over the field against us. And he was their go-to guy, but they franchise tag him, which means he'll make approximately $16 million.
Which is interesting because you're still not sure what the delivery system is. They presume Ryan Tannehill comes back and he's good to go. You remember you had the one-year investment in smoking Jay Cutler. But in the case of, I think he's a stud. I think there's also rumors out there the Dolphins are still looking to trade him, and it may come to that. Now, again, the franchise tag doesn't mean anything unless he takes the deal.
He's got
to
sign it.
Remember how it got to really sort of nasty between Dez Bryant and the Cowboys a couple years back? But again, it just means that now, unfortunately for him, he can't go shop his services around. He's locked in with exclusivity with the Dolphins.
Meanwhile, Colts quarterback Andrew Luck tells fans he's throwing a little bit, but it's not footballs just yet, meaning he's not in football shape. His arm's not where
it
needs
to be. Was he throwing a Nerf?
But he did tell Peter King he feels pretty good.
I feel awesome. I really do. I am in a great place. It's been a long journey. To this point, and it'll still be a long journey till hopefully we get what we need to get done in Indianapolis. The rehab has been hard at times. The one thing I know in my heart is that I am getting better and I feel great. I'm extremely optimistic. It's been fun to see myself improve. So I'm really I couldn't be more excited for this offseason and for our new coach, everything that's happening and where the direction of the team is going.
Now, earlier today, Samuel Charlie, our engineer, and I were watching this video, and I got to be honest with you, it's kind of up there with like a hostage video. It's almost like somebody with doing a proof of life. And I was just waiting to hear him go, I can't wait to get back and back to work and hold on. Oh, this was just handed to me by our PR staff. Season ticket renewals are next Tuesday, by the way, for the Colts. It just seems like, amongst other things, they're trying to get people jazzed and he's ready to roll. I mean, is he throwing a tennis ball?
Something.
Something,
soccer ball? Something.
I'm nervous in the service if I'm a Colts fan right now.
That's a FaceTime conversation, which is why it looked grainy like that with Peter King, and Peter King's interviewing him. We'll play more Andrew Luck coming up in our NFL Blitz. That's called teasing ahead. It is Dukes and Bell. Hey, man, in college hoops, you buying Tom Izzo's squad? Michigan State, 27-3. And with all this stuff that's going on off the court, everybody's like, they're ignoring how good Michigan State is playing.
Yeah, Tom Izzo is emotional. I mean, I'm not saying he's not this emotional every other season, but there seems like there's a finer point on it, knowing that this could be his last season at Michigan State. Now, I know that Deshaun, our engineer, who's actually running the cameras today, is going to shake his head at that. But here's the thing. Are they coming together too early? Are they here's the question. Are they hitting their stride too soon? Now, if they can roll this through the Big Ten tournament and they're rocking and rolling out of the tournament, the big tournament, we'll see. But they are playing great ball, no doubt about that.
Yeah, man, we will see. Again, they've won 11 straight. Last night they beat Illinois. So, again, if you're not picking Michigan State to be one of the top seeds in the tournament, Selection Sunday right around the corner. Hey, congratulations going out to Douglas Fields. Elena Myers-Taylor, now, didn't she come in studio with us, AT, a while back?
Yeah, with her medal.
She sure did.
The previous Olympics.
And I watched the tail end of this last night as I was tuning into the Winter Olympics for the first time, to be honest. But along with her partner, Laura Gibbs, they won a silver medal in the women's bobsled.
Nice.
But she's from here, man, and she came in. It was probably a year and a half, maybe 2 years ago, she came in. Really cool, and to go compete in the Olympics and win a silver, congratulations, Elena. We'll see you when you get home. Hey, Lindsey Vonn, speaking of what I was watching, took home the bronze medal, and after she won, she got emotional about it.
It's sad. This is my last downhill. I wish I could keep going, you know? I have so much fun. I love what I do. My body just probably can't take another 4 years, but I don't know. I'm proud. I'm proud to have competed for my country. I'm proud to have given it my all, and I'm proud to hopefully come away with a medal.
And she did. She got a bronze. Meanwhile, real quick, women's hockey, Mike, they will take on Canada for the gold.
Yeah, I watched the men's against the Czech Republic last night, or whenever this was, this morning. I still don't know what's live and what's on tape. But anyway, they kept butchering the penalties, and they could not, if you didn't see it, it's the equivalent of like a penalty kick in soccer. You're one-on-one with the goalkeeper, and they were just, man, just awful. But the ladies keep on trucking, and everyone kind of handicapped it that this would be the match you'd see, Canada versus U.S., the best women's hockey teams.
Hey, when we come back, it's been called a real-life animal house, and now it's got the NBA buzzing. We'll tell you about it next.
Pretty good, guys. Just sitting here down my basement. Been here for the last 26 and a half hours drinking Mountain Dew, green tea, and Red Bull. My 432 binders of information. Three thesauri.
Didn't have a sound effect, Bell. That's a problem.
I was kind of, you know, lost. I was missing something. And by the way, kids that are listening, it's my genius bell. All right? You got to bring genius to the program to get a ding-ding. Yeah. That's how it works.
That's how you get a ding-ding.
That's how it works. You get a ding-ding. Hey, man, it is Dukes and Bell coming up in the 3 o'clock hour. 20 minutes from now, Amy Dash is going to join us, CBS Sports legal correspondent. She's going to talk to us about a variety of things, including
Louisville
and the fallout. Vacating the wins is one thing. Vacating a national championship, that's a whole nother. And what about Rick Pitino and how toxic he is moving forward? How do they fix things? We'll get into that with her coming up in about 20 minutes. One of the stories we want to get to that has the NBA world going, huh? The Dallas Mavericks, there's a Sports Illustrated story that has been written, and it's out there now, by John Wortham and Jessica Luther, who she's based in Texas. And they basically unveil a hostile work environment inside of the Dallas Mavericks front office, not on the player side, not the players and the coaches. We're talking about on the business side of things. And they say this ranges from sexual harassment, Mike, to domestic violence, and it was an open, quote, open secret. And there were even issues in the HR department. Mark Cuban alleges he was not aware.
You and I were just talking about this off the air, show you what's going on behind the scenes here. I mean, we're big Mark Cuban fans. I like his frankness. I mean, you might not agree with everything the man says, but I like his style. It's hard for me to think he's not involved with almost every aspect of that team. I know he's got a lot of irons and a lot of fires,
yeah,
including his television career, et cetera, with Shark Tank, but it is kind of hard to think he wouldn't know what's going on. One thing for certain, though, the guys that come up, there's two people. One is a HR director who's been there before Mark Cuban took over the team in 2000. And there's a scout, I guess, personnel guy that apparently was a major issue, if you believe the things you're reading in SI. And that's been going on for, again, a decade and a half, if you believe the story. It's hard that Mark Cuban wouldn't be aware of that.
Quote, it was a real animal house, as one former organizational employee who left recently after spending 5 years with the Mavs. Quote, and I only say was because I'm not there anymore. I'm sure it's still going on. So, again, you know, we will continue. I'm sure the league will do its investigation and make sure. Cuban has come out, basically apologized, said he was not aware. More importantly, that it happened under, you know, his watch. He's disappointed and embarrassed, and he's got to get things fixed. I said this just a couple of days ago, that Mark Cuban is one of the owners that I think does everything from the player standpoint,
right,
trying to attract guys to come to Dallas and want to be a part of that organization. Problem is, and we've said this, stars want to play with stars. Their star now is old and Dirk, okay? So now they're doing a similar thing where, they're losing games. Even tanking is the word he used to try to get some fresh legs, right, and some draft picks in there to make that organization attractive again. But this, again, was on the business side of things, which is a whole other element.
But the way I read the SI article, they kind of make it sound like these guys are a really high place. One guy is basically one of, like, the flunkies that writes for the website, you know, that asks, like, the softball questions at press conferences, which now occurs, unfortunately, in a lot of media markets around the country.
Not everybody.
But this dude, Earl K. Sneed, a team reporter for Mavericks.com, was accused of hitting a female colleague, which he had a relationship with, and he had pled guilty previously to assaulting a girlfriend. So, I mean, you want a guy like that working for you at any level, but it wasn't like this guy's the vice president of operations. This is some flunky, you know, making, you know, whatever he's making an hour to write for the website. But he got the heave-ho. So when they're aware of things, it seems like some guys got, but there's some other guys that seem to linger and they seem to have some issues with.
Do you know any of these individuals that are named in this article, AT?
Unfortunately, I know both. It's the team president, Terdima Usery, who came over to the franchise from Nike. He was hired under the Ross Perot regime in Dallas and was held over through Mark Cuban's reign. And the gentleman with the .com, his name is Earl K. Sneed. Last night around 8 o'clock, because I follow him on Twitter and he follows me back, he tweeted something about after 7 years, I'm no longer associated with the franchise. And I looked at that and I was like, I sent him a message back, mm-hmm, and I said, huh? Because last year, if you guys remember, the Lakers did a bit of a purge after All-Star last year. Mitch Kupchak was let go. Their PR director was let go. Once again, people I knew. And so I immediately wondered why all of a sudden this was happening again. Well, I didn't think anything more of it until about 10:30 last night when my son said, did you happen to see the story that is out about the Mavericks? Well, long story short, this place was out of control, apparently, based on this story from SI. And I am stunned that Mark Cuban, after all of his years of owning this basketball team, and it was his team president, would claim that he would know very little of this going on, because this is your right-hand man on the business side of the operation. I know Mark travels with the team a lot, and he's not there on a daily basis for the most part. The thing that was there were two things that were real telling in this story to me. The HR position, a person who was hired to come in for HR recently.
Looked the other way.
He was in a cubicle. He wasn't in an office. His cubicle was right outside the president's office.
So how are you going to have a heart-to-heart about the president when you're in the cubicle outside his office? Who's going to come forward?
And why would you place him there unless there was a significant reason as to why? And so I'm bothered by this because these are two African-Americans who were in significant places with this organization.
Well, they talked about it's Ussery?
Ussery.
They talked about this guy back in the early 2000s as being a future NBA commissioner.
Exactly.
Oof. I mean, so, listen, we're talking about one of the guys around the league that was highly respected, but apparently behind closed doors was saying things and doing things and allowing things to take place that were completely inappropriate.
Now, again, as Arthur just laid out, I mean, if Mark Cuban, that's his go-to guy, and the go-to guy is acting a fool, but there's nothing in place to check it. I mean, I'm not trying to make it like I'm bending over backwards to give Mark Cuban the benefit of the doubt, because I think we could all imagine Mark Cuban's NBA front office and the way that team's run is going to be, I would imagine, 180 degrees from other franchises around the league. It would be a different, completely different vibe. So, yeah, you got to write this off in more than simply people with access to grind. It sounds like they have legitimate issues.
It was a model franchise back in the day before they – and this was before they won the title, the enhancements they made to improve things for the athletes. And another telling part of that story was a lot of the female employees felt the locker room and being around the players was a safe haven.
More safe.
Yes.
Than their environment
at
work.
That was stunning to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's crazy. By the way, you can check out the story. I'll retweet it. And for those who haven't seen it, this hour of Dukes and Bell brought to you by Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer, guys. It's something that, Cuban's going to have to answer for. We always say this, Mike. Where does the buck stop? You know, that's not a coaching deal. That's not a player problem. This is an organization where now you've got all these accusations out there. Cuban's going to have to answer some of this stuff, and hopefully they get it cleaned up. But it's not a good look at all.
Yeah. And as we said, I think, you want to have things that are outside the box and a fun, loose vibe, but I mean, you got to have checks and balances. And the other thing, guys, as we said, it's a new world we live in. I mean, we have a full spectrum in our audience. We got people who say it's long overdue that women shouldn't have to work in this kind of nonsense. If that was your wife or your daughter or anybody in your family, how would you want to subject it to some kind of, nonsense? We talked about it with Jerry Richardson and the Carolina Panthers, right? But that situation, I mean, that's a whole other different type of vibe, which is, again, all uncalled for. So, I mean, I think there's a combination nowadays where you've got things where if you just hear someone throw something out on social media, a guy's reputation can be ruined. But this is legitimate. I mean, this is not something you can shake your head at and go, come on. It sounds like there's some real storylines here.
Yeah, and I just think, too, when you are – the problem, I think, and this is across the board, it doesn't matter what business you're in, I think the problem has always been that when you bring these issues, these accusations to your superiors, it's been overlooked. It's either been overlooked or ignored. And that's what was happening here, where you had multitude of people going, hey, did he just say something to such and such? And people in the office know, and then you go, well, you need to take that to HR. And you take it to HR, and HR is like, you probably just need to understand he's the boss, and you're going to have to deal with it.
Right.
I mean, those are the kind of things that have been said in years past. Some of you listening right now have heard those kinds of things, especially women. And I know for a fact that kind of stuff, Mike, even in our business, has gone on. It was probably worse in our business over the years, growing up in this thing and seeing some of the stuff that went on.
Yeah, you and I worked at different places in our careers where things that happened at a commonplace would be an absolute HR person's nightmare in 2018, but it was the accepted behavior
All right, man, you can always text us, 404-741-0929. That is the number. We're going to come back. We'll talk with Amy Dash about the Louisville situation. We'll get to an NFL blitz as well. The latest with the Falcons, and we got some fun stuff at 3:40. It's our In Case You Missed It segment. Usually Mike Conti's here, but he's on vacation. We're getting some R&R.
Oh, I got shenanigans. I got stories about nasty, cheating North Koreans tripping people on the ice, Carl. Oh, I got to blow the lid off this story.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.